Harakei Pasuk Beis. So Esther standing there. We said we said last time that she wasn't standing there. Her body might have been standing there, but she was in the Beis Hamikdash. And we're going to see she's totally oblivious of Akash Verish. We're going to see this. She is totally oblivious of him. Her body's there. She doesn't even realize it at one point. She gets so low. She's in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. She's in the Beis Hamikdash. That's where she is. That's her vantage point. By he, and it was. Kiros HaMelech, when the king saw, as Esther Amalka, Esther the queen, Omedes Bechatzer, standing in the courtyard, like we said, it was Ben Shemayim, they had a direct line of sight to Esther. Yeah. She like appeared in his field of vision. Abruptly, Nasachein Be'enav, so in favor was arisen in his eyes. Nasachein Be'enav. The pasuk doesn't say that she found favor in his eyes. Her favor was found in his eyes. But Yoshed HaMelech LaEsther, and the king extended to Esther a Shavet Azav, the scepter of gold, a Shebiyado, which was in his hand at the time. Pasuk's telling us, you should know, where was the scepter? It was in his hand. Vatikra of Esther, and Esther came close. Vatiga Baruch HaShavet, she touched the head of the scepter. So her life was spared. The Targum elaborates on this. He saw Esther, and he saw that both of her eyes, tears were flowing from both of her eyes, and she was looking up towards heaven. She wasn't looking at him. She was crying, and she was looking up at Shemayim. Kapi Shemayim. So his compassion was aroused. And he extended the golden scepter. So also you see from the Targum, she wasn't looking at him. She wasn't looking for mercy in Achashverosh's eyes. She wasn't beseeching him. She wasn't reaching out to him in any way. She was davening. Her eyes were extended upwards, and she was crying, and that caused Achashverosh to have compassion on her. It's the Targum. The Rekeach is a kasha, and the first word of the pasuk. The Medrash says that whenever it says Vayihi, Vayihi is always an expression of pain. Like we said, by Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh, it's painful. So what was painful to Achashverosh? What pain? Vayihi kiros HaMelech. When the king saw, that means the king experienced pain.
Maybe that she was crying?
Okay, so like the Targum, we could say that...
Bad for Klaishov?
Not always, Vayihi means pain.
Vayibim
Achashverosh means it was something bad, some tsar in the days of Achashverosh.
So somebody.
Yeah, so here there was tsar, you know, here what was the tsar? What was the tsar? Right, so like Yonu said, like the Targum we can answer, the Achashverosh experienced Esther's pain.
Was it that she showed a disregard for the rules for a king's edict?
I don't know why that would be. I don't know why that would be relevant to us. You know, what do we care if he's pained that she broke the rules?
What do you mean? It doesn't have to be us. It was painful to him. Right?
That's what we don't care if he's in pain. I mean, when the Torah does something like this, it's always some kind of message for us, right. Something we should learn from. But he's in pain because she broke the rules.
It shows that he tried to kick Vashti out because she was. All he wanted was someone that would follow the rules, and now she's not even. Following the rules.
Yeah. So I'm sure you could make a shot of this.
The Gemara doesn't have a shot like that, doesn't it?
The Rekeach says, Pashup Shat, he was in physical pain.
He was in physical pain.
When Achashverosh saw Esther, he didn't want to look at her. Because he knew he was going to look at her, he's not going to want to kill her. He knows this thing already. Every time he looks at Esther, everything goes out of his mind. And then he does some kind of chayin. He might not know how it works, but he knows that it's there. There's some kind of chayin. So he doesn't want to look at her. So as soon as he saw her, he said, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to look at her, and then I'm not going to have her put to death. And she should die because she has the chutzpah. She has the gall to come here when she knows that you're not allowed to come in. She wasn't summoned. So I'm not going to look at her. The Rekiah says Hashem said to Malach and twisted his head. And it hurt. Because when you get your head twisted by a Malach, it hurts. So Vehi b'meach Hashverish, min Vehi kiros ha-Malach, is the pain was caused because kiros ha-Malach, because he's being forced to look.
So it's the pain that the Malach turned his head, or
yeah,
the pain that he had to look at her because now he knew.
No, it was a pain in the neck.
Yeah?
Yeah, it hurt. And once he looked at her, so then she aroused, you know, the sight of her aroused compassion, and then he was a goner. That's okay. The Gemara, Marmagilla. Tells us along the same vein. She was dead. She was a dead duck. By all natural means, she should have been dead. I mean, this is the ultimate thing. Even Esther couldn't get away with this. And we saw that's why she didn't want to go. Even Esther couldn't get away with it. There's no favoritism when it comes to this. I'm going to be Eichanan. There's a Gemara in Tezvav Amid Beis. Gimel Malachi Asharis Nizdam Nila B'Yishashah. Three angels came. Nizdam Nila. They were prepared for her. They were pre-prepared. And each had a different job, a unique role. As we know, one Malach can't do two things. So there were three Malachim. One is, Esther was walking in there. She was on the third day of fasting. She was weak. She was down. She was despondent. She felt imminent doom approaching, either because she's going to die or she's going to lose her Olam Haba, because Achashverosh might take her. Like she's, you know, she's no way. There's no way out of this. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. So her head was down. She was downcast. Which it doesn't jive so much with the Targum that her eyes were up. The Gemara says her head was down. She was downcast. And that's not going to work, because Achashverosh has to see her face.
So didn't the Malachim extend her neck?
Yeah. So one Malach picked up her, you know, raised up her head upon her neck, that she should establish eye contact with Achashverosh. I repeat, this is not like the Targum. Then another Malach caused chesed, grace, favor to be found in the eyes of Achashverosh. He looked at her, and then not only did he see her, but she found favor in his eyes. And then the third Malach caused the scepter to extend itself, which means that Achashverosh establishing eye contact with Esther was not enough to cause him to extend the scepter. The Malach that caused the favor to be found in his eyes, Esther's favor to be found, was not enough for him to extend the scepter, and the scepter had to be accepted by Derech Neis. Like what that might have caused was that he didn't call the guards to take her out and be hung. It did accomplish something.
It might have been that the second one where he found favor, it was because she was fasting for 3 days. She might have looked worse than normal. So the Neis was that she looked good enough that she still appealed to him.
That's very good. That was very good. Now, there's whole machlokes in the Gemara, how long it was extended, and this is Seidus. It's Mamish Seidus. Rav Yirmiyah says originally it was 2 amos, and it was extended to 12. There's a version that it was extended to 16. Another one that was extended to 24. Another one to 60.
260 amos.
And then the Gemara makes a parallel between this and Bas Paro's arm, that it was extended to save Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Gemara makes a second parallel to Oig Melech HaBashan's teeth.
Teeth.
That they were extended, yeah. Oig Melech HaBashan picked up a mountain to kill the Jews. It was big. And then ants ate away at the mountain that fell down on his head. When he tried to take it off his head, his teeth extended, so he couldn't, it was like a grappling hook, you know. He couldn't take it off, and Moshe Rabbeinu jumped up and killed him. Yeah. All right, there's another version how long it went. It brings down Rabba, the son of Ufrin, and the name of Elazar, heard from his rabbi, and his rabbi from his rabbi, there was 2,000 amos. And each one of these numbers has a chashivas to it. We're not going to go into it. If the scepter could grow, then the room could grow. Well, Hashem could make a big scepter fit into a small room. We know that, you know, there's no... Obviously, the one thing that we're to learn from this Gemara is that in that room, at that time, the laws of time and space were suspended. She was not there. She was in the Beis HaMikdash. The scepter wasn't 2 amos. It was 200 amos. The room might not have been that big. So what? There's no rule. You know, obviously, the normal rules don't reign in this setting. You know, that room was transported out of the laws of time and space. And the, you know, the question is just a question, is not a question.
So it was like the Kodesh Kodesh.
She was in the courtyard, and his scepter extended from his royal palace throne to the courtyard.
At least, yeah.
Then why would it be bad if she never actually came into the room? She was just in the courtyard. Why would he have her put to death for that? Wasn't she allowed to be in the courtyard?
No.
It's the inner courtyard.
It's inner like courtyard is verboten. Verboten. No entry. No entry.
You're not
Well, the Vilna Gaon says that the Gemara. Where does the Gemara get this from? All three things. The three malachim. The Vilna Gaon says he's medayik from the pasuk. It says Vayikir Ois HaMelech. You know, normally when you see something, the appropriate way of phrasing it is Kaasher Ra'a, when he saw. Kiros means he was made to see. It says in the pasuk. It says in the pasuk Nasa Chen Be'enav. Which also, it's talking about the chen centering in on her, instead of saying she found favor in his eyes. It says nasa chen beinu, which means her favor was uplifted in his eyes, which is mashma intervention. Kiros has the ring of intervention to it. Nasa also. An outside source. And the third thing, it says that Shavar Azav Asher B'Yadai, the Vilna Gaon says that the Pashup Shad of that is that it was encased in his hand. B'Yadai means it was encased within his hand. B'Yado doesn't mean he was holding it. B'Yado means his hand enveloped the scepter. That means it was a small scepter. And if the hand can envelop the scepter, totally encase it, that means the scepter was small.
It's tiny, right.
And if it's tiny,
not really a scepter at all.
It's small.
But then how does that teach you? Because
if he could reach with a small scepter from his throne room to the courtyard, then something must have happened to the scepter.
Oh, it naturally was.
Right.
She didn't walk in yet.
You know, I would hazard a guess. The reason why the scepter was so small, that could have been engineered by some dastardly person. The smaller the scepter, the less chance there is it's going to be extended. You know,
why would it be called a scepter if it's just in his hand?
So it's not a scepter. Next. Yeah, who said it was a scepter?
Art school.
Okay, so it's not a scepter. The Vilna Gaon would say it's a stick, a rod.
Most scepters are pretty small also, if you go to museums.
A scepter is one of those things that,
it has to be.
They're
outside.
Usually very small.
Have you ever been to a museum?
The whole thing makes sense. Why would you assume it's big then?
Let's go to the next pasuk.
I was assuming it's the size of a cane.
Pasuk Gimel, Rabbi Yisai.
Stands with it.
That would be a cane. Yeah.
I thought it was handles.
McGill's Hester has nothing to do with our present reality. If you haven't learned that by now. But Yemela Melech, and the Melech said to her, Malach Esther Malka, what is by you? What are you holding by you? What Malach, what's yours, Esther Malka? Umaba Kashasech, and what's your request? He assumes she's making a request. Ad chatzia malchus v'yinas alach. Till half the kingdom, it will be given to you.
That's a double question.
Right. Malach, mabaka shaseg, ad chatzia malchus v'yinas alach. Rashi. Why did Achashverosh only offer to give a half the kingdom? I mean, once you're giving half, you might as well give the whole. Why not 99%? Why half? So Rashi brings the Gemara. The Gemara says he's willing to give her everything, but not something which is in the middle of the kingdom. The midpoint of the kingdom is the Beis Hamikdash. As we know, the Chazal say, yeah, and Achashverosh was the one that stopped it in the middle. Koresh gave permission, Achashverosh stopped it. So Achashverosh told her, I'll give you anything except for one thing. The thing which is in the middle of the kingdom, which we stopped. And you just see, he did not suspect that she was Jewish. But you see the how much this was prevalent, how much this was present on the mind of all the rulers. The Beis Hamikdash is a threat to them. The Beis Hamikdash will make all Gentiles irrelevant. And you know, even though he had no, he never entertained the thought that she's going to ask him for this, but he still had to include this disclosure because this is something that was constantly on his mind. This is a direct threat to his legitimacy, to his very existence, and he included it. That's Rashi.
When he says Ad Chatzei HaMalchus, he means up into the base of
the thing which is in the center of the kingdom. There's another Chatzei HaMalchus has two pshat. The one pshat is the thing which is in the center. The Chatzei is like the center. Or Chatzei means the thing which will divide the Malchus. Because if the base of Midrash was built, they'll divide the Malchus. The Targum says that Achashverosh gave an oath. He gave a shvua. He mentions three representatives. He said there was someone by the name of Geshem from Arabia, Sanblat from Haron, wherever that is, and Tuvia from Ammon. So you see Ammon, you see Yishmael. Achashverosh gave his word that he's not going to build the Beis Hamikdash. The reason why he gave it, what?
Sanblat
from Haron, Tuvia from Ammon. He said, "Dachel ana, I'm afraid of the Jews. They'll build the Beis Hamikdash. They'll rebel against me. So that's one thing that I can't do. But anything else, I will. I'll do it."
Who are these guys? Is who he said the problem.
Well, you see, Ammon, Yishmael, and I don't know about Haron.
But what did he say? He said that.
I promised them that I will never give permission to build the Beis Hamikdash. Gave his word. Take note of the word v'yinasein lach. Okay, we'll get back to it. Moshe pointed out that Achashverosh said ma lach. He said, what's to you? Ma bakashach seich, and what's your request? The Vilna Gaon explains that he wasn't sure whether she had a personal request, something for herself, or she's asking for someone else. Someone else, yeah. And Malach is...
He knew it was a request because, like, why else...
She wouldn't put herself in danger, right? She would not put herself in danger.
Would that also be for the double lashon?
What?
Can that also explain the double lashon? What's so important to you?
What's
so important that you're willing to risk your life?
Is it something which you need? Is it something which... you need, or is it something for someone else?
He said, either way, if I have the commitment, I'll give for you, meaning not for someone else.
Either way, I'll give it to you. I'll grant your request.
That's enough.
But your request
not either way.
For someone else.
No, either way, I'll grant your request. What you want. Either it's for you or for somebody else.
We'll see more when we go to Ramabaka Shaseich. Rukeach points out in the word Ramabaka Shaseich. The gematria of 12. The gematria of Mabukash is like 861. Mabukash is saying. To figure it out. Uma because the Sheikh is 861. Uma is 51, 853, 873. Umar Bakasha says 873. You with me?
873, 861.
Let's go to 873. Umar, 51. Bays, 53. Kuf, 153. Shin, 453. Tuf, 853. Khaf, 873.
Yeah. Is that where you were trying to go?
I think so. Well, let's see. Base Amigdash, it's 412. Base is 412. 417. 457. 557. 561. 861. Doesn't 861. What did I say? 861 with?
873 and 861.
That's 12 more, right? Doesn't work. It doesn't work.
No, 12 tribes, Rabbi.
No, no, it doesn't work. Let's try it again, okay?
I don't know either, Aaron.
Do you go to Beis HaMikdash?
Yes, supposed to equal to Beis HaMikdash.
So what's Beis HaMikdash? Can I just say?
412.
What is it? Beis HaMikdash?
557.
How
much is Beis HaMikdash? 861.
Beis
HaMikdash is 861?
Yeah.
853.
Umar
Bakasha
say, please.
153.
873.
It's off.
You're doing it in your mind?
873.
You
get rid of above, that gets
to the 6.
872.
Get rid of the above to get rid of the 6.
Because any other letter I hear is
half. So what is that, 867?
863.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's 873.
Well, add a hey to Beis HaMikdash.
Let me take the vav off of Mabakash, I say.
That's 867.
Beis HaMikdash is?
613.
No, that's the difference of 12.
If you just have the mem, then it's Mabakash, I say.
If you take...
Beis HaMikdash is 863?
Well, first of all, you could... 861.
861?
Beis HaMikdash is 861.
Beis HaMikdash?
Beis HaMikdash is 861, yeah, I did the math.
Oh, Beis HaMikdash? Then it would be 864.
417?
No.
Do you have one?
557, 557.
Do you have one?
No.
Calculator?
61.
561.
861.
It's 861. And
the
Mabakash. Yeah?
I found this on your back. Take away the Vav. Yeah, it's 57.
Now take the Vav off of Mabakash.
It's 57.
No, it's off by 6. No.
It's off by 6.
Yeah, it's off by 6.
Okay, we have to get back to this one. Sorry.
Beis HaMikdash with a yud would be.
It was not.
It
sounded like a Nerf gun.
It's only two hours.
Anyway, so the Vilna Gaon says on this pasuk, Moshe said this before.
I broke it.
She was fasting for 3 days. Achashverosh noticed it. He saw that she was holding near the end. It showed in her face. She couldn't hold her head up. So he knew that it's either something that's causing her great pain because of her personal misfortune, or something to that was happening to someone who's very dear to her.
So he jumped on this opportunity to find out something else about her.
Uh-huh.
I see how it is.
Pasuk Dalid.
Wait a second. So what happens to you? When he saw that she was...
That's why he knew that something was up. That something was wrong. She couldn't even keep her head up.
Did Achashverosh also know that people were going in and out of Esther's chambers? He said Haman.
No, that's taken care of.
I didn't see any evidence to that.
You're
going to say something. Pasuk Dal v'temer Esther. And Esther said, Imal HaMelech Toiv. If it's Toiv for the king, Yaveh HaMelech v'Haman HaYayim. All of a sudden, you know. Let the king and Haman come today. Out of the blue. Let the king and Haman come today.
My mother always cries when she wants to
leave. Ela Mishnah Asher Asisulai, to the Mishnah which I made already for him. Now this is our... Yeah, well, he can think what he wants.
She was trying to make him jealous.
That's one shot.
What? What's the tzaddik?
How much is the tzaddik?
Come out with another one.
90.
90?
She's really in love with her.
Why did she invite Haman? There's a number of reasons. I mean, there's two questions here facing us in this pasuk. Why did she invite Haman? And why is she making a mishta? Why is she making a banquet? Just cry. Tell him everything. Dam to Kadosh Baruch Hu that you should be matzliach, and let it all out.
She herself said, "You don't confront Haman. You have to lead him into a trap and then get him. You don't just go out and."
What kind of trap? Who? What trap?
Trap
out
of like
that would
only
the
banquet.
To the degree. It wouldn't get rid of Haman by setting him up. Get rid of Haman also.
She's saying that she had to have a plan. It was a mahalo.
More than just get rid of the decree.
Or maybe she just wanted to get him in a place
cries,
where he might be
say,
more
okay,
receptive
fine,
to what she was saying.
But I don't know what Avishur is doing. He already offered anything but the Beis HaMikdash.
But there's a number of reasons given.
Just because he said that.
Given about the Mishnah, why does the Mishnah, and why specifically Haman? They intersect. The Gemara Megillah says that, you know, she wanted to take Haman down, and the way to do that would be to arouse feelings of jealousy in Achashverosh towards Haman. Achashverosh should feel that there's something going on between Esther and Haman. So if she invites the king to a mishta with Haman, Achashverosh will become suspicious, and he'll kill Haman, which is indeed what happened. Another reason which is given... The Gemara says, you know, there's two ways to take on an enemy. One is you take care of him. You take care of him. Try and knock him off. That taking matters into your own hands. And that doesn't work. That's not effective. Because you don't run the world. The Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. The Gemara brings a pasuk, Imrav Seinacha, if your enemy is hungry, Hakilei Olachem, give him bread. Hashem Yishalom Lach. Hashem Hashem will make sure the guy gets what he deserves. Now this is something which we saw. We saw it before. Mordechai and Haman were in the Lost Patrol. Mordechai had food. Haman didn't have food. His enemy was hungry. This is Mamash Hakim of the Pasuk. So Mordechai sold Haman bread. And he effectively saved Haman's life. Why didn't he kill him off? Because the Pasuk says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread, Hashem will take care of it. When you feed your enemy, that's a supreme act of Amunah. You're making a statement. I am not the one that runs the world. This is my enemy. If he deserves to die, Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of him. I'm not going to take care of him. I'm not going to do it. She's going to feed him. Now we're in trouble.
Why should you not
finish that? What? You should just give Haman bread.
Because that's already.
Yeah, there's a unique there's a unique combination here of Ishtadlis with Betachin. Yeah, she was doing something, but even though she was doing something, she didn't want to be guilty of some of the trusts in her crafty wiles and palace intrigue, and stabbing someone in the back. Even though she's doing something, but she's doing it that in a way that only a Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing it. She is giving Haman bread. She's building him up. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, you're building him up? I'm going to take him down. So that's another pshat.
You can't do it.
Another reason which is brought down is that she didn't want Haman to have some forewarning of what's coming. Because if Haman would know what's about to come, so he would rebel. He would stage a rebellion, he'd take over the kingdom. I mean, his only way out is to knock off the heads of state. So she didn't want to give him advance warning, so she wanted to lull him into a false sense of complacency. Another reason which is brought down is that She wanted to make sure that Haman was... She didn't know exactly what, you know, what a Kadosh Baruch Hu had in store for Haman. She knew that it's possible that Haman could not be there at the right time. Yachashveish could provoke feelings of anger and suspicion against Haman, but if he's not there at the time, so then it could dissipate. So she wanted to make sure that Haman was constantly around, like he was a big nuisance. He was always there. So at the opportune moment when Achashverosh would get angry, Haman would be there because he's always there. So she wanted to keep him under her thumb. Another, what? And that's almost what happened. I'm saying, you know, another reason which is given. Is what the biggest sakana that Klal Yisrael was in was not from Haman, it wasn't from Achashverosh. It's from a false sense of hope. We see that every last vestige of hope was taken away from them, and the only thing left to them was to remake themselves. They had to view themselves as being dead. They had to tear kriya, ashes, and be in mourning on themselves, and then come back to life. And someone is only capable of doing that once they see that there's no other hope. If they would think that perhaps they could appeal to the queen, like we said, there were those that knew she was Jewish. It was known by some that she was Jewish. So okay, we don't have to resort to such drastic measures. Esther's there, she's in control, she's going to pull us out of the ditch at the last moment. She had to take that away from them by inviting Haman to the Mishnah, so she was countering that. There's no believing Jew that could ever have hope that Esther's going to save them if she's being Makar of Haman. Ah, she's a traitor, she betrayed us, she embraced our enemy, she's taking the viper and embracing it. So this is, you know, this was the Icarus Dadlus, is that the Jews should reach out to nobody else but a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then there's a commentator, Yosef Lekach, he says the general reason why she made the Mishnah, unrelated to Haman. All the above reasons are reasons why she had Haman at the Mishnah. Is that before she asked... You know, when you go into someone and you put your life in danger and you bring the king to the edge of anger, that's not the time to ask him for things. Even if he spared her life. But like, you know, you want to take a breather. So she made the mishteh because she wanted to eradicate the ill will that existed between her and Achashverosh. So this was like a distraction. So according to Yosef Lekach, there's nothing to do with Haman.
So you're saying you already drank by the time that happened?
Drank.
She made the mishta.
Make a mishta. Make the mishta. He'll forget all about her trespassing.
But wait till the second world.
Ah. When we get there, we'll explain that one. Very good question. Why did you wait till the second mishta? You look in the pasuk, this is
We needed to still build the...
Maybe the first one was to appease him, the second one was to raise jealousy.
Possibly.
Or if it's the jealousy.
The pasuk says, Yahweh HaMelech V'Haman HaYayim. Yahweh HaMelech V'Haman HaYayim. So on the surface it looks like she's embracing the enemy, she's bringing them close. But in reality that's what the salvation of the Jewish people was. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu brought about the Hatzalah Dafka through the Mishnah. And the Rekiach says, you see this in the Rosh Tevis of the words Yavai HaMelech V'Haman HaYayim. Yavai HaMelech V'Haman HaYayim is Rosh Tevis Yudkei Vavkei.
So why did the Mishnah, I miss why again, Dafka through the Mishnah?
Which reason do you want?
Because Dafka through the Mishnah because they've sinned through the Mishnah? Or
because what?
Was it Dafka through the Mishnah because they sinned through the Mishnah? Or...
I didn't say that. That's not one of the pshatim I said. But you'll see that. We'll see in the next pasuk what Esther did by the mission.
Who mentioned the one with the Rosh Davis?
Okay.
Really?
Now the Vilna Gaon gives us a pasuk pshat in the pasuk. The Achashverosh asked her, he wants to know what her request is, and she said, no, I'm not telling you. I want to make a mishnah. The Vilna Gaon said she was, in a way, answering his question. She told Achashverosh that for what I want, you have to be in a good mood. And I don't want to ask you until we have a drink, you know. So let's go. We're gonna have a Mishnah. We're gonna, you know, I'll give you good food. We'll have a good drink.
Haman's there just so I don't make anything. Like
the only guy who's not addressing why Haman was present. He's just explaining why there was a Mishnah. I told you there's two issues. Why she's making a Mishnah? So she, he's treating them separately. She told Akashverosh, I'll tell you, but I'd like to get you into a better mood before we do it. So that's, so she is answering him. Like she's addressing him. That was the Vilna Gaon. That's okay. Vayemer HaMelech, and the king says, Maharu is Haman. Swiftly, bring Haman. Lasus is Devar Esther, to perform the word of Esther. Vayavi HaMelech v'Haman, and he came, the king and Haman came, Elamishta to the feast, Asher Asa Esther, which Esther made. Esther made it.
Was it that same day that she came to him, that they had the feast?
She was fasting, yeah. Yes, it was the third day to fast. Was the first day of the, was the feast, the first feast. Hayom, immediately.
This feast lasted a while.
And she, does she drink at the...
She didn't touch anything, she was fasting. Could you imagine that?
She was still...
She didn't partake of anything by the Mishnah.
But I thought she only fasted for 3 days.
This was the third day.
Oh, it was on the spot they went?
Yes.
In the middle of the day?
Come to a feast I made for you, but I'm not going to eat it.
Well, she didn't say that, but she didn't.
So you got suspicious of her.
Why was she in such a rush? Why wasn't she in such a rush? Because Esther, the Vilna Gaon says they were in such a rush because Esther was in pain. Achashverosh saw that Esther was in pain. She's evidently in pain, and he doesn't want that to continue. He wants her pain to dissipate. He wants that whatever causes her pain should be removed. So hurry, get Haman, because the faster Haman comes, so the faster she could tell Achashverosh what is on her mind, she won't be in pain. Last is the Devar Esther. There seems to be a divergence of opinions what's being referred to by Devar Esther. The Targum says, get Haman here to perform the word of Esther. The Targum says the command of Esther, because Esther's commanding Haman to appear, and when the queen commands, you respond immediately. So the Targum says Devar Esther is Esther's command for Haman to be present by the Mishnah. The Vilna Gaon says Devar Esther is not a command. Devar Esther is more accurately defined as the matter. A dover is a matter. That he wants Haman to come quickly in order that she should get her request out and should be fulfilled. So Devar Esther could alternatively be referring to her wish. Right. It could either mean Haman's presence, or it could mean Lasus Devar Esther, she should finally get what she wants. Esther, which Mishnah? The Pasuk says, Ela Mishnah she'asa Esther, the Mishnah which Esther made already, which means that she made the Mishnah before she even went to Achashverosh. It was pre-made. It was all ready. She came to him, she says, I made you a Mishnah, I'd like you to come to the Mishnah. Why? There's a commentary called Yosef Lekach. What was Esther afraid of? What was her fear? What was in her mind constantly? She's going to come to Achashverosh on her own volition, and he's going to take her, he's going to violate her. And the more time she spends in his presence, the more likely that is to happen. But if the food is hot, so she could tell him, not now, the soup is going to get cold. The meal is made already, it's prepared. Let's go. So she pre-made the meal in order that there wouldn't be an interval of time that she have to spend in his presence between the request and the meal. Because if it's going to take an hour or two to make the meal, then it's an hour or two that he has to be metameh. So that's why it was in the past tense.
Is that also why Haman was at the meal, so nothing happened during the meal?
I doubt it. She could have had a lot better people than Haman for that, if that was her purpose. The Rekeach explains this pasuk on a totally different level. We know that when it says Vayemer HaMelech, HaMelech refers to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if you define the word HaMelech as a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's Vayemer HaMelech Ma'aru as Haman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Haman should come quickly. It's time for the Jews to be saved. It's time for the Gzaidin to be annulled. And when that time comes, then there's no delay. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Gzera the Haman should be brought. And Chazal say the Haman came very swiftly. He came immediately, and the reason why he came immediately is because Malachim were sent from Shemayim to hurry him along. He didn't get caught by any red lights. The Malachim changed all the red lights to green lights. He went through the stop signs and he didn't get caught by a cop. There was no traffic. So he made a beeline straight for it because the Malachim were sent, and that you see from the part of Vayemer HaMelech Ma'ur HaTzhaman. When Hashem says Haman should hurry, so then Haman hurries.
And what does Vayemer HaMelech Ma'ur HaTzhaman mean?
Vayemer HaMelech Maharu Es Haman.
No, what is Vayavo HaMelech Bahaman?
Well, the Rekeach doesn't address that, but that means that Hashem was at the Mishnah. Hashem did not
every
allow.
Time he says that every time it says.
The Gemara says that. The Gemara says any time it says HaMelech could understand it as meaning the Kiddush Baruch. Okay, so we have to get into this more in depth tomorrow, Mr. Shem.
Why does it say we need to knock the first one in the TSA for second?
Did we say the second one yet?
What's the next
one? Mr. Shem tomorrow. But tomorrow I'll try and get the Gematria worked out. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry.
All right, so that was the last one with Rakia.